All right, I am trying my hardest not to give you so much information in one night that you get exhausted from it. So just bear with me and we'll get through Revelation however long it takes. Let's open our Bibles again to Revelation chapter 2. It's one more part of this letter we haven't looked at. Studying these seven churches, the letters to these seven churches, which of course are not just written to seven local congregations in Asia about 2,000 years ago, because the Bible says in Revelation 2 verse 11, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Okay, are you a member of God's church? Are you congregated? That is, are you gathered together in one of his churches? If you are, then this letter is written to you. Bible says in Revelation 2, verse number 8, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." We learn from Revelation chapter 1 that that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the first and the last. Jesus was dead and is alive. And so these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his churches. Verse number 9, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich." And we covered that in great detail. In verse number 10, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And we've covered that. Okay, now this is what we have not looked at yet in this letter. In verse number 9, the second half of the verse, the Bible says, "And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Okay, now those are some pretty harsh words written by the Lord Jesus Christ to the local church. Before we're through looking at these letters, I trust we'll spend a lesson or two helping you to understand that these letters are not written to saved individual people. Okay, now hear what I'm saying. These are written to churches. Okay, and every local church is composed of people who are saved and people who are not saved. That's not true of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, but that is true of every local church. Okay, you've got this Baptist heresy today that the local church is the church, and yet those same preachers, they'll get up and preach in that church service, "Some of you need to get saved. Some of you need to get born again." Well, everybody in God's church is saved. Okay, everybody in God's church is born again. But there are some members of local churches. So you got to make that distinction. There's members of local churches who are not saved. They're not born again. And there are those who are members of local churches who carry with them all sorts of false teaching, all sorts of false doctrine, all sorts of heresies. And the Bible says that in this church at Smyrna, there were those who claimed to be, who thought themselves to be, who lived as though they were Jews, and they were not. And they were being used by Satan to harm. They were being used by Satan to hinder. They were being used by Satan to pervert that local church at Smyrna. And I want to say a couple of things before we run to the verses in the Bible. We always want to support Scripture with Scripture, okay? Not support it by opinion or storytelling. You know, it's not about who can tell the most interesting story that makes it true. Okay? So if God will help us, we might be able to learn a thing or two tonight. As you may know, people who don't want to live a holy life will accuse preachers like me who try to stick to the Bible of being a legalist. And the reason these people accuse someone who preaches holy living from the New Testament epistles of being a legalist is that they don't have any idea what they're talking about. That's all there is to it. Okay? God gave a law on Mount Sinai to the nation of Israel. And there's not one commandment in all that law that has any binding application whatsoever to the New Testament church, apart from three things which are stated in Acts chapter number 15, which were retained for the sake of the testimony of the New Testament church, and not because the New Testament church was ever under any part of God's law. What are those things? We are to abstain from fornication, from blood, and from things offered unto idols. Okay, that is the determination of the apostles upon whose doctrine the New Testament church was built. And there is not one other statement in all the law that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai that ever had anything to do with the New Testament church. Now, I'm not a legalist, but here's what these people do. When you tell them, thou shalt not commit adultery, they say, well, you're a legalist, trying to force that on me. I'm not being a legalist because guess what? It's in the book of Romans. That's not the law. That's an epistle written under grace to the New Testament church. When you tell them that you're not to touch liquor or wine or strong drink, oh, you're a legalist. Well, that's from 1 Timothy, an epistle written to New Testament Christians. See, here's what happens. You got two groups of people. You have people who think you have to keep the law in order to be right with God. And then you got a group of people who think you're trying to live a life that's pleasing. If you're trying to live a life that's pleasing to God, that makes you a legalist. So, again, there's a ditch on both sides of the road. Now, God, in the New Testament epistles, has given us letter upon letter, chapter upon chapter, verse upon verse of commandments, not laws, commandments for holy living. They have nothing to do with salvation. They have everything to do with witness, and testimony, and reward, and fellowship with God. In the Old Testament scriptures, you have laws that God gave to the nation of Israel. And are you ready for this? Those have nothing to do with salvation. They had to do with long life on a piece of land in Palestine, in the Canaan land. If a Jew kept every commandment in the law of Moses and did not put his faith and trust in Jehovah God, he would die and go to hell, because the law can not save. Hebrews 10, the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. Galatians 2:16, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The law was not given so man, keeping the law, could get to heaven. The law was given so Jews of the nation of Israel could enjoy peace and prosperity in the land of Palestine. But by the same token, the New Testament epistles were not given so you could pull salvation verses out of them and then ignore the rest of it. And we got this thing going on in our churches today, where if you preach anything from the Bible except salvation and go into heaven, then you're a legalist. And that's just a bunch of carnal, worldly people that want God in heaven, but they don't want God on earth. They want Jesus Christ in the sweet by and by, but they don't want Jesus Christ in the sweet now and now. You know, they don't like the idea of him seeing the things that they're doing, but he sees it. Now, you know, the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not commit adultery. But that's also found in the New Testament epistles. The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt have no other God before me. But that's also found in the New Testament epistles. You're not a legalist if you live by 9 of the Ten Commandments. Okay, those were given as instructions to the church. The Sabbath is not. That was a sign between God and Israel. And so you won't find that in the New Testament epistles. But when you abide by God's commandments, which he gave to the church, that's not legalism. That is just holiness. That's what God expects. Didn't he tell us to be holy like he's holy? Okay, and we live in a day and age where, on one hand, people think you've got to live a holy life to get to heaven. On the other hand, you got people that think that because they're going to heaven, they don't have to live a holy life. It's weird, isn't it? You got lost people trying to live holy, and you got saved people telling you that they don't have to. It's weird. If you go knock on a door, the lost man will open the door and say, well, I don't want to be a Christian. Well, why, sir? Well, because I like my drink, and I like to go to the movies, and I like to do whatever I want to do. And so you go to the next house, and the man there says, well, I'm saved, and I can drink if I want to. I can go to the movies if I want to. I'm saved and under grace. It's weird. Here's a lost man with no Holy Spirit who understands that a Christian can't live any way they want to. And that's why he doesn't want to be a Christian. And here's a Christian who has the Holy Spirit, and he thinks you can live however you want to, and it doesn't make any difference. So we live in perilous times, beloved. We live in perilous times. So I want you to understand before we start, I'm not a legalist, but I am for holiness because God is for holiness, and he demands it. And I'm not under the law, but thank God the law is not over me. All right, false Jews. We're going to talk about false Jews tonight. If any man seeks to apply the doctrines of the law to the New Testament church, he is an apostate and he's being used of Satan. Okay, now, if I say that, people, they'll nod their head and then go on their way, and they don't have any idea what I was talking about. So I'm going to give you a list of false Jews in our churches. And some Christians, when they hear this, they'll get so mad they'll turn off their ears for the rest of the message. But if I don't say this, you won't pay attention to the scriptures. False Jews. All Sabbath keepers, Seventh-day Adventists, Seventh-day Baptists, etc., etc. Those are false Jews. The Sabbath was given to the nation of Israel regarding their covenant relationship to God in the land of Palestine. It has nothing to do with the New Testament Christian in a church. Okay? That's one. Next one. False Jews, those who teach that the dietary laws are applicable today are false Jews. They are apostate. And then those that teach that the ceremonial law and the moral law do not form one unit and seek to impose the moral law. Okay, you hear that all the time. We're not under the law. Okay. Oh, we're not under the ceremonial law, but we're under the moral law. Oh, really? Well, then why don't you build a rail around the roof of your house? Okay, God commands you to do that if you're under the law. You have to build a rail around the roof of your house. another one, why do you have indoor plumbing? God forbid that in under the law. Okay. Why do you have a garment that's made of 50% cotton and 50% polyester? That's forbidden in the law. Okay. You buy slaves. God told you in the law how to do it, the right way to do it. Do you own people? If you do, you can keep them 49 years. The 50th year, you've got to turn them loose. That's God's law. You can have them for 49 years. See, those people that say, we're not under the ceremonial law, but we are under the moral law, they don't know what they're talking about. The Seventh-day Adventist will get in his car and go to church on the Sabbath. Okay? He's broken at least two laws there because there's a fire that ignites his car to start it up. You're not allowed to start a fire on the Sabbath. Okay? And then to travel on the Sabbath, that distance, that's against the law. Okay? God told him not to go out of his house and travel on the Sabbath day. It's weird. I don't know how they settle that in their own mind. Now, somebody's going to go out of here and say, Brother Bob, you're knocking people's religion. No, I'm telling you that Satan has crept into our churches because people don't know the Bible. Another one, British Israelism. British Israelism. This group teaches that the 10 northern tribes of Israel migrated into Great Britain and then came to America, and that the Anglo-Saxon people have magically become the nation of Israel. Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God, the Identity Movement, and almost all right-wing patriot groups in America, they are British Israelites, and they're trying to bring in God's kingdom on earth through military force. They got that out of God's law for the Jews in the Old Testament. Because you know what God told the Jews to do in the Old Testament? He told them, take up arms and weapons and go slaughter people that are not right with God and kill them and take over their land. You know why people all over America are waving a Bible in one hand and an automatic weapon in the other and saying, let's go shoot the president? Because they think they're Jews. So you need to rightly divide. You need to understand this Bible. Kingdom theology. Under this category are the numerous Protestant factions that believe that the New Testament church is a continuation of the Old Testament church. Now, of course, there is no church in the Old Testament, but you can't convince people of that. And under such a false system, the promise for occupation of the land and the responsibility for bringing in the kingdom rests with the church under that false system. Okay? All Reformed churches think they're Jews. All true Presbyterian churches think they're Jews. All true Calvinistic churches think they're Jews. All Dominion theology groups and New Wave charismatic ministries who are trying to bring in the kingdom, they all think they're Jews. All state churches, such as the Church of England, think they're Jews. All right, so like I said, this is information that does tend to upset some people. God said, his people, the nation of Israel, would bring in an earthly kingdom, and they would govern the earth from a throne at Jerusalem. You know what John Calvin believed? That the church was a continuation of Old Testament Israel. And so he tried to set up a throne in Geneva, Switzerland. And he killed people whose doctrine did not agree with him, to rid the earth or to rid the state of heretics. And they were hanging people and they were running people out of the colonies who would not submit to a state church that was bringing in Christ's kingdom on earth. The church doesn't bring in Christ's kingdom on earth. The church preaches the gospel. Then Christ gets the church out of here, and then he comes and sets up the kingdom with the Jews, not with the church. Who else are the false Jews? Those who have a separate priesthood, Any system seeking to carry the idea of a separate tribe of Levites over the church, that is a company of false Jews. And that goes for the Roman Catholic Church, the Greek and the Russian Orthodox Church, and the Episcopal Church. That robe and that incense and that altar and those perpetual sacrifices and that separate class of men that's a priesthood that doesn't mix with the other people and is not on equal footing with the rest of the brethren. Do you know where that came from? It didn't come from anything in your New Testament. It came from the Aaronic, as in from Aaron, you know, what God set up with Aaron there, Aaronic priesthood, and the system of sacrifices in the book of Leviticus. Those guys think they're Jews, but they're not. Who else makes up the false Jews in our churches? The charismatics. All faith healers base their claims on the promises of health that God gave to the nation of Israel. There is not one promise of health found in your New Testament epistles. There isn't one promise of healing found in any New Testament epistle. You got to go back and steal that from the Jews. All prosperity preachers base their claims on the promises given to Israel. There isn't one promise of material prosperity in any New Testament epistle. Okay, there is not one promise of earthly material prosperity in any New Testament epistle. You got to go to the law and steal promises that God gave to the Jews regarding the land. And you know what we've just done? We've just aggravated and alienated 97% of church attending Christians. At least it would aggravate those in America, I know that. Now, I didn't say that those people were not saved. I said somebody has come into their churches and convinced them to live like and to think like and to believe like Jews under the Old Testament law instead of Christians under the New Testament epistles. Now, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter number 3. You say, sounds like you think you're right because you're a Baptist and everybody else who isn't a Baptist is wrong. Oh, no. No. I'm for God. I'm for the Bible. I'm for everybody that's in agreement with God and the Bible. But if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, like God told you to do, you're going to make a mess. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In the Old Testament, there was a distinction made between Jew and Gentile. There were two different ways of approach to God. Okay? The Jew came by way of the law. The Gentile came by way of his conscience and by revelation of God's creation. In this day, you don't come the Jewish way. In this day, you don't come the Gentile way. In this day, you come through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you don't come at all. So when somebody tells you, you've got to keep the law, you've got to keep the commandments, you've got to live up to this, you've got to live up to that, they're not bringing you to Jesus Christ. They're bringing you to the law. When a person says, you've got to do the best you know how, as long as you're sincere, that's what counts. Okay, they're not bringing you to Jesus Christ either. They're bringing you to a Gentile setup in the Old Testament. The only way today is Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay, well then that means you don't come through a priesthood. Then you don't come through a sacrifice. Then you don't come through an offering. Then you don't come through a certain day of the week. Then you don't come through a set of rules and regulations. You come through Jesus Christ. And everybody that's saved and born again came through Jesus Christ, not through a ritual or a system or a ceremony or a theological program. You came through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, if you know anything about Satan, what would Satan do? Satan would creep into the church and turn our eyes away from Jesus Christ. Satan would creep into the church and turn our eyes unto a kingdom, or turn our eyes unto a law, or turn our eyes unto a priesthood, or turn our eyes unto a ceremony, or turn our eyes unto a certain day of the week, anything but Jesus Christ. That's Satan's work. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Okay, now he's writing to the Christians at Ephesus. Do you know what they used to be? They used to be Gentiles in the flesh. Do you know what they are now? They're saved people in Christ. In time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That would be the Jews calling the Gentiles uncircumcised. 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now this is, I've said this before, this is not a wall of partition between man and God. This is talking about a wall of partition between the circumcision, the Jew, and the uncircumcision, the Gentile. Okay, the Jew was over here with his covenants. The Jew was over here with his promises. The Jew was over here with his laws. The Gentile was over here with his conscience. The Gentile, he was over here trying to do the best he knew how. And the two of them hated each other and warred with each other and killed one another for centuries. But now, the Gentile got around that wall. And the Jew got around that wall. And they met together in one body. And that is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're no longer Asians and Americans and Africans and Europeans and Latinos and Arabs and Jews and Greeks. No, they're saved. They're born again. They belong to Jesus Christ. So that every kindred, every nation, every tongue, every tribe on the face of the earth are one in Christ Jesus. They're not one in law, they're not one in ritual, they're not one in practice, they're not one in custom. They are one in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh, okay, abolished in his flesh, Jesus Christ, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. What did Jesus Christ do with that law and those ordinances? It says right here, he abolished it in his flesh. If you are in the body of Jesus Christ, there has been a decree passed. You are not under that law and those commandments. So when somebody comes in and says, well, you know something, you can't eat ham. That's in the Bible. Well, it is in the Bible, but it's not a commandment directed to somebody in Christ. It's a commandment directed to a man in the flesh who happens to be a Jew, who wants to live in the land a long time. You better grab this. You're going to need it. All right, look at Colossians. Book of Colossians. And chapter number 2. Colossians 2, verse 13. 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive, quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, okay, watch it, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Okay, what was that? That's God's law, blotted out, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Jesus not only died for my sins, but when he died for my sins, he died to pay the penalty for all transgressions of the law. And if you're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that law has been taken away. Now you can't possibly, as a Christian, let somebody tell you that you've got to live by the law, when the Bible says Jesus took it away. Look at verse 16, same chapter. Let no man therefore judge you in meat. Okay, if I want to eat a burger on Friday in Rome, Italy, I'll do it. You're not going to tell me I can't eat meat on Friday. I'll eat whatever I want to eat. And nobody's going to judge me on that because they think they're a Jew, and they're not. You say, well, I don't think you ought to criticize people's religion. I don't think people's religion ought to criticize the Word of God. Just depends on what's important to you. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. When a man tells you, you've got to respect the Sabbath day, that man is telling you that he's not trusting the grace of God, and he's not a New Testament Christian. He's trying to be an Old Testament Jew. Respect of an holy day. We don't have to pay one bit of attention to Christ Mass or Easter, or St. George Slew the Dragon Day, or St. Elvis Sang Rock and Roll Day, and that kind of stuff. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth every single day of the week. We don't have to have all that foolishness going on. The Lord said in verse 17, all that stuff was a shadow of things to come, but the body, look at that, the body is of Christ. Are you part of the body of Christ? Then you are not part of the Sabbath. Are you part of the body of Christ? Then you're not part of the holy days. Are you part of the body of Christ? Then you're not part of the laws, regulations, and commandments regarding diet. See, what they're trying to do is they're trying to fit the devil. Okay? The devil, through religion, is trying to get your eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ and get your eyes onto some commandment instead. So that instead of glorying in Jesus Christ and in his marvelous grace, you'll glory in yourself for keeping some commandment. Oh, look at me. Glory in me. Look what I did instead of what Jesus did. Okay? You meet one of these fellows on the street. You say, are you saved and born again? And they say, hey, let me tell you something, buddy. We're fighting that wicked government. We're going to bring in the kingdom. We don't want to hear about you. We want to hear about Jesus. Are you saved and born again? I'm doing the best I can to keep the Ten Commandments. We don't want to hear about you. We want to hear about Jesus. Are you saved and born again? Well, you know something? The true day of worship is the Sabbath day. And Constantine gave us Sunday worship, and we worship on the true day. We're not asking about you. What about Jesus? Are you saved and born again? Yes, by the grace of God. I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's the New Testament Christian. Every other system of religion will lead a man to glory in something that man has done or that man is doing. And that's exactly what the devil wants. He doesn't want Jesus Christ getting the glory. He wants a man taking the glory himself. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter number 2. And verse number 9, is the New Testament church a continuation of Old Testament Israel? 1 Peter 2, 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Is the New Testament church a continuation of Old Testament Israel? It cannot be. The New Testament church is a people that was not a people. It's a brand new nation. It's a brand new generation, a brand new race on the face of the earth. Those born not of a Gentile nation, those born not of a Jewish parentage, but born of God through the Holy Ghost. Brand new thing on the earth. All right. I'm going to have to wind this up here, but this will be continued next week. But come to Romans chapter 9. I'll give you a little preview here. Romans chapter 9. Here's what all these groups fail to understand. Romans chapter number 9, verse number 3. This is the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom is, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. There's just so much in that, in those verses there, that we need to take our time with. It's something we don't have right now. So what we're going to do, we'll stop here, and then next week we're going to go through these verses very carefully here in Romans, and I'm going to make it crystal clear that none of these things Paul mentions can be applied to the New Testament church. Okay, the only way you can do it is to maintain a certain level of ignorance and ensure that all the members of your organization are just as ignorant as you are. You're either going to have to keep them away from the Bible entirely. Okay, Rome tried that. Or you're going to have to write a new Bible version that says exactly what you want it to say. And that's been done. And then you have to demand that your church members only use that Bible version, or else they might accidentally find the truth. As for me, I'm thankful that God has given me His true word and that He's preserved it forever so that I'm not left wandering about in confusion. I'm thankful that He's given me His Holy Spirit to enable me to discern the spiritual teachings in His Holy Bible. And I'm thankful that He's placed me in a local assembly composed of believers who love God's Word as much as I do and who want to be faithful to fulfill all the requirements for a New Testament believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that one day He'll say to each one of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your Holy Bible, for Your truth, for Your Holy Spirit, for Your guidance through our life. Thank You, Lord, for helping us to rightly divide Your word of truth, that we might be able to avoid the errors that have been made so many times. We thank You, Lord, that our salvation is based upon Your grace, the fact that Jesus Christ paid for our sins, came down and died on the cross for us and paid for our sins, and He was buried and He rose again. And because of that, we can simply place our trust in Him, receive Him as our Savior, and go to heaven and be forgiven. Lord, I thank You for that. I thank You that it's not based upon obeying a law, obeying a set of rules, are doing more good than bad and all of that business that's been tried and failed. We thank You, Lord, that You did it all. And all we've got to do is trust You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.